You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? Welcome to the Ununited State of the World podcast. This is our second episode. I'm really proud of this little baby we're feeding and nursing. We're coming to you live from around the world once again. I have my wonderful co-host here, Francis Vigor. We'll get that down at some point. He's coming to us live from Thailand, but he lives in the UK, and he'll be representing topics and issues that are pertinent to that part of the world and everywhere. And then we have Mr. Jay Heckendorn to Linda coming from, are you coming from Florida, Jay, today?
Right now, I'm in Florida.
Okay. And I'm Monique Leray. Monique Leray on LA Talk Radio is the startup, and Monique Leray Stinson, whenever I'm not on the air, and I'm coming to you from Laguna Beach, California. So thank you for tuning back in, guys, and joining. I predict we're going to have a hot streak after this topic. I feel like we might trend. I have a feeling we're going to have a great conversation. Again, guys, if you're new to the show, we're three different people with three different perspectives from many different walks of life and backgrounds and experiences. But what unites us is we're friends. We've all traveled collectively to at least up to 100 countries and counting. And we have a concern and an interest and sweat equity in the overall collective doing well and getting along. So we will always come back to one. And something new at the end of this show, we're going to try something new, is we're going to pitch the idea of the United State of the World. And Jay will bring us home with those ideas so we can leave you with something positive. We do not want to be Debbie Downers. So, all right, with that, let's start, gentlemen. How's everybody feeling? You guys feeling good?
I'm alive. I'm great.
Yes, we love it. You're doing good. All right, good. So, right, just a quick recap about you guys, if you don't mind, if they didn't tune into the first episode. Why don't you guys go ahead and give us a recap of who you are and, you know, just a little micro dose of what you do. Anybody can start.
Yeah, sorry. You're breaking down on me. We're getting some interference here. I'm all good. Thanks. Had a good week. Been following the news a little bit. It's just building on the story, same old stories of last week. Unfortunately, watching our freedom of speech come under attack significantly, particularly the story of Elon Musk. But what about you, Jay?
Yeah, so I've been in the real estate mortgage businesses for 35 years. Most of my clients are institutional, so I represent banks, government agencies, hedge funds, things like that. And the businesses are real estate, residential mortgage, and commercial mortgage. And I advise to the government, they're economists, and that's kind of my job.
Great.
The week, man, Francis. There was a lot going on this week with that censorship. All right, we had it here a little bit before, right after the attempted Trump assassination. But then I saw what happened in your side of the world. That was an interesting week, and it called into a lot of questions. There were some Supreme Court issues in the United States that went on. And obviously, there's a lot more going on as we get closer to our elections here, and as to censorship and how that works and how it'll be enforced. Monique, how was your week?
Hey, thanks for asking, guys. It was pretty interesting. A lot of different things going on over here, but I'm just pushing through. I'm almost done with my final edit. And as you guys might know, my film is going to stream at the end of the month on Roku. I'm very proud of it. It's been a labor of love for 4 years. And I am on many deadlines. But other than that, I'm putting one foot in front of the other. And like Jay said earlier, I'm still alive. So that's always good. We have a lot, you know, we have a lot to be thankful for. And I'm, you know, although there's been a lot of challenges with my business is shifting, I just want to be grateful. I wake up and be grateful and work with what I have and, you know, count my blessings and just go from there because it could be worse. So thanks for asking and recapping us. And yes, all those things you just touched on, we will get into it. Speaking of freedom of speech and free media and being able to share our ideas, that's why we're here. And that's what we want to do. We want to keep this lane open for that. So we're going to jump right in. This is a hot topic in America and the world. We're talking about the southern border of the United States. If you've never been in the United States, we're speaking specifically about the states that run along the southern border into Mexico, Guatemala, and such like this. So major cities, major states that are affected. We're talking about Florida. We're talking about Georgia. We're talking about Louisiana. We're talking about Texas. We're talking about all those, and California, all those states down there. So I want to just make sure we're respectful.
You confused me.
Oh.
I don't think the U.S. has a southern border anymore.
Well, thank you for saying that. Listen, we want to share our views, and I'll have Jay lead in. And let's just talk. We want to catch people up. Let's just say people have been busy with school and work and family, and they have had their head under a rock. And they don't know what's going on. Pose, tell us what's going on with the border and why everyone should be alert.
Okay, so America is the land of opportunity. That's what it was founded on, not the land of entitlement. So, you know, back in the day, when everybody's an immigrant except for the Native Americans, right? And when they came, it was just an opportunity to escape oppression and build their own business, support themselves. They lived very modestly. And really that's what America is based on, is opportunity, not entitlement. Now today, fast forward, the snags that we're facing, and this is really, really hitting the entire country, not just the southern states like California, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico. And no, it because they're getting transferred, these illegal immigrants are getting transferred and across the United States. And that's really opening without very many checks and balances, very few checks and balances. There's way too many people coming in that our customs and border control can handle. And so they come in, they're protected, they get transportation, housing, health insurance, medical care, food. And unfortunately, there's some really great people that are trying to escape some repression. However, there's also a loophole that's created where drug cartels are using that loophole to mule and sexual traffic, just humans. And they're really taking every bit of money that they have from those people to bring them in and then allow that the cartels to actually operate, which is very harmful. And even if you take the drug cartels out, it still is harmful to the economy in the way that there's no checks and balance. So one, you don't know where they are. They a murderer, a rapist. Many of them are wanted on charges from their own countries, whether it's Venezuela, Brazil, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. They are wanted people. And so they're using this loophole to come into the United States and bring their badness to the United States. Then there's other people that want to bring goodness, right? But the only way you're going to know the difference is to filter it out. And we're not filtering it out.
Okay. Thank you for giving us your summary on that. So, Francis, what is your point of view from the UK and abroad on the situation? And we're going to start citing our sources, guys, but we all agree that we're going to use some neutral news, some news sources that we can all agree are pretty good and neutral and consistent. That way, because of these inflamed topics, we want to make sure we're ethical in how we're having this conversation. But Francis, what's your point of view? What say you?
I'd like to know why it's happening all around the world all at the same time. We've got a similar problem here. The Europeans have it in a massive way, and you've got it. And the new group of peoples that are coming to our shores are here in the UK and Europe. We've got a very large number of non-Europeans, effectively, that are entering. I think you have the same problem on the southern border. You can only measure the apprehensions because you don't actually really know how many people have crossed into the US illegally because they're not counted. But if you look at Statista, these are the stats released. The numbers under Trump were something like about a million people a year. As soon as you've got Biden in, you've got over 2 million a year coming in, effectively. And if you look at the numbers of people that come from other countries, not Mexico, originally or traditionally you had Mexicans crossing the border to come to the US for work. Everyone knew about that, and it was a sort of an issue, but maybe not, because you knew what you were kind of dealing with, perhaps. Now you've got people from other countries all around the world coming in huge numbers, far more than the Mexican people, which was, if you like, the traditional problem that you're dealing with. So why is it that these people, have they truly been displaced, or are they economic migrants? How are they finding their way all around the world? Who's assisting these people? Mm. They don't have any money to begin with.
Yeah.
they're coming from very, very poor parts of the world, unfortunately, where they have lots and lots of issues. But they're finding their way internationally all around the world. So yeah. They enter the UK on a small boat crossing the channel, or somehow walking through the Darien Gap, which is a very, 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 it's the most dangerous migrant land route on earth. Huge numbers of people go missing on that trip. You hear some horrendous stories. There are lots of people.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely raises an awful lot of questions. So what do you think, Monique?
Yeah, no, thank you for saying that. I think I think that's a really good place to start. Why is this happening, right? And how long has it been happening? And how can we affect change? Because I think we can all agree, no matter who you're voting for or what political party you're in, we are taxpaying citizens, and we want to have this be a place where people can go through the system and do it correctly. I, for one, definitely want that. I want to dispel this kind of this narrative that people who might vote differently than others are for that. That couldn't be further from the truth on my end. But I do think.
Wait, not one.
Say that again.
I don't disagree, but dig deeper into that one. What do you mean, people that may vote differently? Like, explain that a little bit more.
Sure. I think we're independent, independent thinkers here. But I think you often, whenever I turn on cable news, and a lot of those political shows are for entertainment. I've been in the industry for 24 years, so I know it very well. But a lot of it is this dialogue to get people to fight and to, okay, you're voting for this person, you're voting for this person. This person doesn't care about the border. And I'm just saying, someone that lives very close to the California-Mexico border and goes to Mexico and loves where I live and loves to travel, I think it is an important issue. And people who vote the way I vote, however I vote, a lot of us do care. So I just want to set that. That's what I mean by don't believe the hype. If anybody does, there are people who vote differently that do care and pay taxes and care just as much. They might be addressing it differently.
Okay. And so explain that one, because you know I'm from Los Angeles, right? And you're from Laguna, that's an hour and a half south.
Yeah.
And I've also been on the East Coast and also in Dallas, Texas, so the Central. So I've got that experience. And I'm wondering, on the side, when you say they care, what does that mean?
Sure. I think, you know, we have something really special going. We got a good thing going in the U.S. We have a lot of issues. We are not perfect, but we have a lot of good things going. And I think for most people, we like to be able to go home, lock our doors, and know that we're going to be fine when we wake up. That's kind of just a thing we enjoy, right? In America, we take it for granted, for sure. I can't really see anybody from any political party going, yeah, you know, I really don't think I want my borders to be safe. I think it just kind of goes without saying. And so that's what I mean.
How's that been implemented over the past few years? Like, if you look back, mm-hmm. and I get my information directly from Customs Border Patrol, because my clients are the feds. So I actually, if it's economic, I get it from FDIC or the Treasury or HUD. Mm-hmm. If it's anything like that, I get it direct from the law enforcement agencies. I used to work for FBI. Sure. So I get it from FBI, CBP. But you don't have to have experience with those agencies to kind of realize what's going on, okay? And if you look at the different cities, whether San Diego, I know that intimately. My brother happens to be a fire chief there. I know San Diego. I've got Los Angeles. I've got San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Chicago. You've got New York on my side of the coast now. And none of those cities are refuting the fact that their homelessness has skyrocketed, their crime rates have skyrocketed, that their police departments are frustrated. Nobody has disputed that. And they're complaining about their budgets. Those are all blue cities.
Interesting. I don't know. I mean, that's your opinion. I would say...
No, it's not an opinion. It's actually a fact.
Well, that's what this show is, right? We're giving our opinion based on the information that we have at the time, right? So that's, you're giving your opinion from those sources that you have, which are really credible sources, right?
Yeah, these are sanctuary cities, aren't they? Sanctuary cities, the blue cities. These are the cities that the migrants have been rounded up in Texas and sent on buses to, and you've got the mayor of New York. Basically on his knees saying, for God's sake, I can't take any more. Our city is just being destroyed. completely destroyed by these people that are coming in. And they are migrants. I mean, they're not coming through any kind of like traditional route. Was it Ellis Island originally where they used to land and then sort of distribute into the country? These are a different group of people arriving in a completely different way with a completely different set of motives, I would say as well for coming, and they've been assisted along these routes by international charities, effectively, you know, having staging camps. These are people that could never make the trip themselves. They could never get there without the help from these large NGOs and these international charity groups. So you have to ask the question, why is this complex system being put together to get these people into the country?
And just to,
what's going on, you know?
Right. And to get back to, because we're going to talk about what you're proposing as there's groups that are supporting people. Because yes, you're right. There's logistics in travel and we don't have much. How the hell did you get here? And what's
That
makes, that's a logical question to ask. But I want to answer Jay's. You're talking about the cause and effect of more bodies here, and it's putting a strain on our systems and our largest. And remember, in America, California is the most populated state. New York is the largest, but we have the higher population. So I think it's like a mathematical thing. I think the more you have, the more you have. So you're responsible for a lot more. So when we had higher numbers. when we had higher numbers with COVID, it's because we had a higher populace. So yes, you're going to see strains. But I also want to point out that one of the things that we do here on my other show, we do feed the homeless during Thanksgiving. I wish we could feed them all year long. But that issue has to do with a lot of people who were nonviolent, who had addictions and don't have a job, being freed out of the system. So that's another topic we could talk about. But I think we have a lot of things happening here. And our weather, right? Yes, our government is more towards helping people here in this state, sure, the local government.
Wait a second, Monique, if that's true, why have so many people left California? I mean, I'm a California native.
Well, we're talking about the thing you just asked me, and I'm just giving you from my experience and opinion.
How much help have you driven down the 101 or the 405 or Hollywood or San Francisco?
Of course, I was at the border 2 years ago.
Have you seen the businesses close down in downtown LA or San Fran?
Right here at the beach, there's stuff closed. Lots of commercial buildings.
I'm sorry, where's the help on that? I'm missing that one.
No, it's a good question. I think a lot, like I said, I think that's a compound issue. And you're asking, where's the help? Right now, you said at the top of the first show that you're offloading a lot of the commercial real estate that, you know, after the pandemic have been left empty. A lot of those spaces, some of those spaces are being turned into live work spaces. And a lot of people are staying remote. So you've got a lot of different issues happening at one time. But I will say,
I'm just talking about the homeless issue and the fact that
is in relation to the border, right?
No. Look,
okay, we're talking about the border.
In California, we had very high taxes, of course, property tax, sales tax, you name it. I mean, good God, you sell your house, if it's over $5 million, you're going to pay an extra tax, right?
Yeah.
And you've got your gasoline tax. You go to the grocery store, you got to pay for a grocery bag, right? And that's how that works.
Unless you bring your own.
And so the state is in a major deficit. And that's real easy to look up. That's just simply go to California Comptroller is what it's called.
Okay.
So if you look at California Comptroller, it'll give you the budget. California's had a big exodus. Okay.
Yes, listen, you're going off topic, Jay. We will get to all of that. I know you have a gripe with California. That's fine. We're talking about the border crisis in America. We're not just talking about California and all its problems. So I just want to be clear.
But I'm talking about the blue states are creating the border problem.
All right. Let's dive into that.
They're the ones that said they cut back the CBP. They... and the Customs Border Control, right? They cut back law enforcement so that cities that were once vibrant, like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, you name it, they cut back that law enforcement. Now, Newsom, this week, in his brilliance, which I think we all know, he's the nephew of Nancy Pelosi. And he finally signed into a bill. Well, it's not done yet. He signed it.
Do you want to bring nepotism into this? Because we have a whole lot on the other side to talk about nepotism. I don't think you want to start there with that. But
absolutely.
You want to talk about nepotism in government?
I've got my arsenal.
If you're gonna say it on this side, there's nepotism on the other side. So let's just.
Okay. Well, I'm bringing out the fact that now Newsom, so he signed a thing before in California, up until today, or Friday. I correct myself. He signed it, but it's not yet in effect. Where prior, as long as you sold less than $900. There was nothing. You could do it right in front of a police officer if you can find one, because we've defunded most of the police.
All right.
But now it's going to be, and here's the bill that came out, which I read this morning.
Okay.
The bill that came out is now they will use other crimes from the same perpetrator, from other states in order to jack it up to a felony, right? So now if you go over $900 because you stole some money in Las Vegas or Arizona or Utah or whatever you did, now they can, they will be able to combine that to bring it to a felony. Now, shall we get into whether Gascon would actually, who Francis Gascon is the DA for Los Angeles. Oh, let's talk nepotism on that one.
All right, let's pause there and let Francis talk because we're getting all, which, but by the way, I don't want to, like Jay has a lot of good ideas. I just want to stay specifically focused on how do we get here, right? That's a good question. And what we're doing about it, because we all agree that we have to have a safe place to live if we're paying taxes.
Do you not find it interesting that now Camilla is saying, oh, I'm going to tighten up the borders?
No, I don't. She's been doing that.
Oh, really? How?
Well, I mean, listen. What'd you say? Okay, let's first, before we go to Kamala, let's talk about Title 8, okay? Well, I will, no, I have an answer for you. I have an answer with numbers, actually, for you. But Title, I want to establish why we got here, right? There's cause and effect for everything. Title 8. Talk to me about what you know about Title 8 and why it was lifted and why the Supreme Court got involved. And this is on the heels of COVID and why we saw an influx of numbers, because there's always a cause and effect to everything. So let's talk about Title 8. Francis, what say you?
Well, I'd like to know what Title 8 is.
Okay, Jay, you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
I'm already looking it up.
Okay, guys, Title 8 helped to kind of put a halt on people coming over. So people come over for many different reasons, right? Some are escaping a worse situation and their families are in jeopardy and they don't care if they're going to be detained. They're okay, trying to get half away from somewhere. Hold on. I'm just giving the layout. You're going to tell me about Title 8 next. So, and some people are coming with bad intentions, like the gentleman have said, with an agenda. Okay. Some people want to do it the right way and some people don't. So what is Title 8, Jay?
So Title 8 deals with asylum. Okay. And I addressed that in my beginning comments. I already addressed that. I said, we are a melting pot, not a land of entitlement. We're a land of opportunity. Unfortunately, much of Title 8 is not being enforced. So Francis, Title 8 is an asylum title, whereby if somebody is under repression or duress or their life's at risk, they can seek asylum. Kind of like Assange did, right? When he leaked out on the WikiLeaks, okay? He sought a Title 8, I forget which country he went to, but he sought a Title 8.
Belgium or Switzerland or something? I'm not sure.
But he was originally properly oppressed, wasn't it? I mean, everyone could see what was happening to him, so we all know his story. But carry on.
His was different in that he leaked out private information that compromised national security. So I'm going to go back to that. He had to stay at an embassy for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Okay, and all you have to do is just Google it. Okay, you want a source? There's a million sources on that. And now we have a process to get into the U.S. You've got tourist visa, work visa, green cards. We do have a process on that. And there is a reason to protect the borders. Because as we've opened them up, there's gangs from Venezuela. Again, Google it.
Yeah.
It's real easy.
Yeah.
Or I can just read FBI reports. I see it every day. So we're letting gangs in. We're letting cartel in. And we are jeopardizing the lives and everything that many Americans have worked so hard for. Yeah. And the UK is going through the same thing where those citizens that have had their flats, that have built their farms, that have done everything, are now getting terrorized, okay? Because there's a lack of organization. And you've got to think, while some of the people do come here with very good intentions, then go through the right path. That's it. There is a path. Go through it. But to just simply open up and then subject your citizens, that doesn't work. Okay, you'll kill your economy. You'll kill the livelihood. It just doesn't work.
So your point of view is that there's no process and everybody's just coming on in. There's no stop. There's no checks. There's no process at all. That's your position, right?
No.
Okay.
I didn't say that. In fact, earlier I said we're understaffed.
Okay, well, say it for the people. We might have missed that.
Yes, we're understaffed. There is not enough CBP, so Custom Border Patrol. There's not enough. There's not any severe consequences if you break the law.
I don't know if I agree with that. You don't think there's consequences?
I agree with it. Mine's a fact.
Well, okay, right. Your fact-based opinion. We all have them. But why? So you don't think there's any consequences to people crossing the border illegally?
What are the consequences, Monique, in your opinion?
I think that people are held accountable. I think people get their day in court. I think people go through the process. I think that they, according to the government website, there's a step-by-step process that happens. Even if you're seeking asylum, doesn't mean you're going to get it. If that were the case, where I live would be looking a totally different because I'm only an hour and a half from the border, 2 hours.
Okay, so Monique, So answer your own question. If there's a process and that process is effective, why would California, New York, Chicago, Michigan, Maine, right? Because they sent a bunch to Maine as well. Why would they be complaining if there was a process?
I don't know. I think that for us to ship people over based on the color of the state, we're not acting as United States, right? We are ununited there to serve them with, okay, you're letting the borders in, so take these people. I don't know if that's a proactive leadership.
Who made the boss let the people in? So listen, there's either
tax dollars to move them. Why don't we keep them where they are, put them through the process? If we can't have you, you go back. It's real fucking simple. Wait. I don't know why we're using more dollars to push it to the blue states to go, here, it's your problem. It's all of our problems. We're all
who made the law
bordered by the border. All of us.
Okay. So Biden is blue. Kamala is just dumb.
You're ununiting us again. Why are we doing it that way? Why not come together and go, we've got these people. Let's put them through the process. If they don't meet the criteria, we got to send that ass back. I mean,
well, guess who was the president that allowed that to happen? Good God.
Let's say who all, because, you know, all presidents have different things that they leave
who
behind.
Was the president? When Obama, did we have- actually,
Obama had a whole lot of sending people back, and that system was in place when Trump came in. So we have to talk about when some things cause and effect. Some people.
Oh, okay, but who changed the laws? That was Biden and Kamala. Who changed the laws? Okay, come on, man.
You're here to say your opinion. I don't read your mind. You have to say what you think.
Biden changed the laws. It was after Biden took office that we had BLM, defund police. We had all
what
kinds
does BLM
of
have to do with the border?
That was called defund the police. Okay, which impacts the safety of our community.
Okay, you're talking about a whole episode on
Biden stopped building the wall.
By the way, I saw the wall. Francis, let's pause for a minute. Francis, let's say you give us some, he's our kind of our palate cleanser here. Hot topic. What do you think, Francis?
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, okay, so there is a system in place, but clearly it's not working. I mean, it's quite interesting that that in Texas, they had to take their own measures. It was so out of control. I think they called it Operation Lone Star, where they put razor wire up and they put 10,000 National Guard and state police on the border. So they took the matter into their own hands because the central administration were just letting it happen. You know, it's just it wasn't an issue to them. Just let them walk in. But of course,
okay, but you know, they're walking into
Francis.
They're not walking in, you guys. Come on.
They are walking in. You only know about the people that have been apprehended because they're the only ones that are counted or the ones that hand themselves in.
But you can actually look outside. You can drive and see if that was the case, the landscape of San Diego. Yes, there's more people in, but the landscape would be totally different, you guys. I was just there. I'm just saying.
Okay, so Monique and Francis, I'm going to vote to your point. And I'm going to make it real simple because I like
to cut you off, Francis.
I like to deduce things to the very core. Francis is correct. Texas put up razor and then these like balloons that went through the river at the Rio Grande. And guess what happened? And they put in National Guard. Why would they do that? Oh, because people were swimming across the Rio Grande. Okay. And then guess what happened?
What?
The Biden administration sent in people to take down that protection for the state.
How do you know that?
That is a fact.
How do you know that?
Because I'm from Texas. I mean, I worked in Texas. I lived in Texas.
But have you seen it? And do you have a source that, do you have?
Yes.
Okay, I've got, he's asking. Okay. I'm just saying, I'm wrong if that's what you're talking about. I'm sure that there's some of that going on. I was going back to Francis's point, and I thought Francis, so I apologize to you, Francis. I thought you were saying people were just walking across the border where there's border agents. And I'm like, that's not a thing.
They walk, okay, and they have tunnels.
If you go
through Texas, you got to swim, okay? And there's a reason. And the administration, literally, and I do have photos, and I'll send them to you.
Great. We want to cite our sources on the show.
And so they, what is that?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's great. For the viewers, we're going to cite our sources when we tag. But finish your thought, because we have to give Francis a couple minutes, and then we got to give you the final word. So finish your thought, Jay.
My thought is there is a process. My thought is that there's a manipulation to allow a bunch of immigrants, and that's why they are now fighting to have people that are not citizens to give them the right to vote. Name one other country in the world where you can vote without being a citizen.
No, that's crazy. I do not agree with that. I don't think that should be happening.
That is happening.
Okay, well, I have a counter for that, and we will talk about voting rights and all that, and I do have a solution for that. But let's pause right there, because Jay, we're going to throw it back to you for your ending segment. Francis, you have 2 minutes. What do you want to close and leave with this? And I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I mean, the Mexico border is 3,145 kilometers long, and Texas has 2,018 kilometers of that. And people are walking across, swimming across. They're coming across in huge numbers. And as I said earlier, The only way that you can even predict how many people are in the US illegally is looking at the number of apprehensions of people that actually get caught.
Okay.
And they've actually got 38,300 criminal arrests with 453 million lethal doses of fentanyl over the last 3 years. So, I mean, I don't think many of them are coming with good intentions. I'm sure some are, and they're not all genuine asylum seekers simply because of the numbers. We know that. Some are or would be, but a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage, I would say, are genuine asylum seekers. And again, it goes back to the question, how did they get there? Who are helping these people along the way? And what is the overall narrative that's driving this in the United States, in Europe, and in the UK, all at the same time?
Great. All at the same time. Gentlemen, and so hold for a second there, because we're going to give you the final thing here, Jay. I just want to end with this. There was a system that was put into place for Ms. Harris, and it's called CAF. It's called CAF. It's the Central America Forward. She helped raise over $5 billion, and that's according to USA Today, to help get to the root of the issue and rather than treating the symptom. So she was actually helping enable people to stay where they are in Central America and not come this way. And I think that as leaders, we have to look at the root issue and help, you know, alleviate that. That could be a forward macro view, you know, a macro way to address it. But yes, your question that you're raising, why is it all happening? I think America is unique where we do, like you say, you know, let, you know, our humble masses, you know, yearning to be free. We do, I think we are sometimes a target. I think people do come in and they take advantage. I've heard conversations in bars when I'm, you know, in the South, and people are like, oh yeah, I've got a cousin that's coming in, you know, they familiarize themselves with our culture and they do want to take advantage of our system. I think there's a lot of that going on. I agree with you on the drug thing. I think that there's a lot of people running from something scarier. Sounds better to have a sandwich and housing at some border than what the hell I'm running from with my child. So there's a lot of issues going on. I'm not saying it's okay. I do think that there is an interest to have us fight about this issue. I think that there's a lot of perhaps Mexican Americans that feel like this land was also part of theirs with Native Americans. I think there's a lot of different things going on. But I want to pause it here. And thank you, gentlemen, for engaging, and I know we have more to say, but I want to give Jay an opportunity here to give us an inspiration. Like, we don't want doom and gloom, right? We don't want to be depressed. And Jay was really pushing. I want to say, you know, shout out to Jay. He's really pushing, like, you know what, Monique, we need to be united in this. And so I will give him the floor here. I just want to give you guys an announcement before I do. We are actually going to launch this show. We're going to start airing this week, our first episode. You can also start following us on Instagram at the Ununited, at the Ununited State of the World Pod. And it just put pod because I ran out of characters. So we also are launching our website soon, and you can find us on LA Talk Radio. If you missed this, you can download, like, and share. Please follow any of us on our socials. Francis, we got to get your social media at some point. So Jay, you're going to take 5 minutes here, and then we're going to let Francis have the last word. What do you want to give us? We're going to even get to the entertainment topic, because this is such a big topic.
First, I'm not going to take 5 minutes because I'm pretty concise.
Okay.
So, what would be nice is one. Yes, we need to control the borders. Okay. That's a big deal. It's huge. And like you, Monique, I've been around a lot of countries. Yeah. I've never been to a country that feeds me. In fact, Switzerland, heck, I had to get my tax returns before I got to be allowed there. Yeah, wow. No, it doesn't work that way across the world. Mm-hmm. And it's not that we lack empathy, okay? And so I'm going to finish it with a few things. One, everybody's got a stereotype, okay? And back in the day, comedians would make fun of stereotypes, like Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, right? Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah, you know, you laughed, okay? It wasn't judgment. It was humor, okay? It was just a joke. Today, I now have to read every email signature line to know, do I call Jim, he or she? I have no fucking idea what to do. Good God. And I'm telling you, if I ever got arrested and I had to go to prison, which I never would, but if I did, I would totally change my identity and say, I identify with female. Put me in a female
prison. All right. This is supposed to be the uplifting portion of the segment. Now you're talking about Brandon Spender now. Stay off the way, Jay Heckendorf.
How crazy we got. Like, I can actually, I'm a man.
All right. But I can't He's gone off the rails, y'all. Jay, one more minute. End it with something positive so Francis can talk.
Right, okay.
Go ahead.
I'll try that again next week.
So from now on, just call me JP.
Yeah, if I end up in prison, I think I'm going to change my sex as well. I'll become a boxer, I think.
Okay.
Might end up in the Olympics.
Okay, we're going to cover that topic, you guys. They're ready to get to it. You know what, guys, for the listeners of you,
guys have all the time. I'm going to end my part and say, damn, I hope they figure out how to make good fentanyl.
Population.
Yeah, breaking. All right. Breaking Let's Bad, he'll cook his own, yeah.
Take two. Francis, give us something positive to take away from this.
Something positive, yeah, no, educational. I would like anyone and all the listeners to take a look, or just Google Agenda 2030, because I don't think many people have even heard of it, never mind know what it is. But look up the UN's interpretation of migration and what they are saying should be happening all around the world. And it might give you a little bit of insight into what the glue is that's holding all of this together, why this is happening all at the same time, USA, Europe, and the UK. I would say Google Agenda 2030 and look at migration.
Okay, yeah. We will do that. Jay, are you going to come back and leave us? Come on, give us that coach spirit. Let's go.
You guys hang in there. We're in for a fun ride. It honestly, everything works out. Water seeks its own level. Stay strong. Have your integrity. Show your character. And don't be blind. Read.
Okay. And read. Good, good, good. And by the way, I'm so grateful we have you, because you're a wealth of information. You do work with a lot of the agencies, and you have your finger on the pulse there. So I'm really grateful. We do have 2 minutes. So I want to jump in real quick, because this will tee up for our next topic. I don't know if we're doing it next week. I'll have to look at the schedule. But I know this is something very important and close to all of our hearts, especially Jay most recently. And that is, we're going to, little entertainment news for 2 minutes. Matthew Perry, his untimely death in being found in his hot tub in his L.A. home. We want to send condolences again for the Friends actor, the beloved Friends actor. But now news is saying that there's 4 or 5 people in a conspiracy, including doctors, to get him the drugs. What say you, gentlemen? You each have about a minute each. Jay.
Okay, there are 2 doctors involved. And then there was a dealer. Okay, so the dealer got the drugs from the doctors. The doctors showed that the house. Yeah, so there's 2 doctors, then 2 dealers, and then there was a housemaid. And or guest, whatever you want to call her. And so the doctor showed the house guest, which is a leech, and showed her how to inject. Again, do you think it was a hallucinogenic? And unfortunately, the better the drug, the more addictive it is, right?
Yeah.
And at first. And then, however, when it comes from across the border, and then it transfers hands many times, it gets stopped. And all of a sudden, you don't know what you're getting. So I think America needs to, and I'll be quick, I know it's Francis's turn, but we really need to put into our school system mental and emotional health training, as well as financial. Good God, kids graduate high school and they know how to do geometry and maybe algebra 2 or trig, but they can't balance a damn checkbook.
Yeah.
There's no emotional health. There's nothing to teach you about relationships.
That's right.
How you manage those. So it all starts with education first.
Great.
We need to get there.
Thank you, Jay. Francis, take us home.
I would say let life be your drug. You know, live a little bit more. Get out there. Get down the gym. Make some friends. Get some natural highs going on. Listen to some good music. Read some good books. Study a little bit of culture, some of the classics. Find out what real life is about, as opposed to all this phony crap that's been pushed into us by the entertainment industry.
Hey.
It's not just...
You're part of it now.
Listen, but, you know, I mean, if money is the ultimate goal, why do so many wealthy people die of drug overdoses?
And we're going to leave
that's
that.
That's all I've got to say, right?
We're going to leave that that's question. That's all I've got to say. Thank you, Francis. I'm sorry to keep cutting you off. We'll have to do an in-studio soon together. What is going on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to The Ununited. And on behalf of Francis, myself, and Jay, we'll see you next week. Ciao.
You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.